Welcome to the download here on WGN, WGNradio.com. Newsweek called my next guest publication the last great humor magazine. They were talking about The American Bystander, a magazine that harkens back to the days of National Lampoon and others, featuring essays and humor pieces from some of the greatest satirists and comedians of our time, including Michael Ian Black, Jack Handy, and Mike Sachs, just to name a few. And it's a true magazine, print only. Sample pages and blogs, they're online. But the main thrust of The American Bystander is to bring back the historic tradition of the printed humor magazine. Michael Gerber is the publisher, and he joins me now. Michael, thanks for joining. Appreciate it.
Good with you.
Talk about The American Bystander, because it's been a couple of years. This is a passion project for you, but it really truly is about bringing back the humor magazine.
Yes. Well, of course, I've loved humor magazine. I'm 49. Comedy writers and cartoonists would always ask me, why isn't there a magazine like National Lampoon or Spy or something like that? And there are these magazines in other countries. Charlie Hebdo in France, as we all know.
Right.
But the way that magazines are published in the United States makes it very difficult for these kinds of magazines to be successful as big corporate magazines. So in about 2012, a couple people came to me because they knew I was a fan of this stuff and started talking with me about how we could bring this back. And over the course of a couple of years, I came up with a way using crowdfunding and social media and print-on-demand technology to make a magazine that would feel like the great humor magazines of the past.
You know, obviously, the internet has come along and been a repository for archives and for new publication. I mean, McSweeney's comes to mind, others who have done this here. But the idea of that actual in-your-hand printed magazine, you're right. I mean, that's gone the way of other pieces of, media that haven't survived. How can you make it happen to do it again, to avoid the pitfalls that others have dealt with?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, because most of the time, the way magazines are published, the reader has no idea how it's done.
Right.
The short answer is, you know, to sell 100,000 magazines, you're probably printing 500,000. And so there's incredible amounts of wastage. So that means a couple of things. That means that you have to, you can only really get advertisers that are big money advertisers, and only really huge corporations can publish these things in that way. But what's nice about the new digital technology is that it allows us to, if we get 1,000 orders, we print 1,000 magazines.
Right.
So we don't have a lot of that sort of excess cost.
How much did you know about the magazine publishing industry before you got into this?
Well, I had worked in the magazine business for about 25 years before then.
And
I mean, I would, when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s, I worked in the magazine business in New York, but I was also writing humor for The New Yorker and writing jokes for SNL and all that sort of stuff. So I've always had a couple of different hats. But I wouldn't have touched this thing without an extensive background in how it's done conventionally, because that way then you can sort of think about, well, how do I avoid X pitfall or Y pitfall?
For you to have so much experience in the business, not just on the publishing side, but to talk, you know, about the humor side.
Yeah.
What is it when you're talking about The American Bystander, what do you want it to be when you want it, when you're talking about a humor magazine? What makes a great humor magazine?
Well, it's really interesting, because back in the past, humor magazines generally happen when you get four or five really funny people together who had the same sense of humor. And, you know, you see that with Kurtzman's Mad in the 50s and National Lampoon in the 70s, Spy in the 80s. I really feel that the internet it allows readers to get any kind of material that they want in two clicks of a mouse. So what we're trying to do here is a little bit different. I'm actually trying to give as much diversity as I can, get the most interesting writers and cartoonists, get really good examples of their particular work, and then put it together in a book. The Bystander, it feels like a trade paperback book. So there's a lot of, you know, it's the kind of thing that you want to keep. Each issue ranges much more widely than a magazine. Yeah. And as I say, it's really meant apt. It's for the reader. The reader is interacting with us direct out the interposition of advertising in a big company, all the rest of that. These were all theories. It was totally theoretical. I had worked in the business long enough to think, well, you know, this may work, but we really have only known that it does work after the 3 years that we've been in business. Readers really love this thing.
In the 3 years of doing the magazine, how have you evolved? How has the, from 2015 to now, how have you and has American Bystander evolved?
Well, there's two things. One, every issue we get more contributors. So we have over 200 people that are either writing or drawing for us. And so I get a tremendous flood of material to pick from every issue. So it's getting better and better and better, and that's really interesting. The second thing was that the first issue, we weren't sure whether it was going to be a one-off or not. So that first issue one is 146 pages. Issue two is 122 pages. And then by issue three, we were sure that people wanted it. And then we also knew that what they wanted was a more magazine feel. So our issues now are about 95 to 100 pages. And we have advertising, but it's advertising for things that we particularly like and think that our readers will like. I really feel that the right advertising is like editorial in that it's useful and interesting to your readers. It's not just a commercial transaction.
Let's talk about some of the people who contribute to the magazine. For you as a publisher to have comedic background, to be someone who's worked in the industry, does that give you a leg up when you're reaching out to writers or dealing with submissions? Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I can, well, first of all, I know who to talk to. I know who is doing particularly good work and interesting. But you know, that's the thing. Bystander's a really interesting mix of sort of old pros and then people in the sort of fullness of their career like me. And then there are a lot of young people too. So what's cool about every issue is that we're mixing all these generations. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I really, most magazines, when you're writing for them, you're talking to the editor, and the editor says, well, our demographic is this, and we want you to write about this, and it's very controlled. I always hated that. And so what I like to do is I like to get the best people and then just say, what is the piece that you've always wanted to do that you haven't been able to do yet? Or if you were going to get hit by a bus tomorrow, what piece would you want to write? And then stay out of their way. And that's really great because it comes out in the material. People feel very free, and it's funny, and it's different than the kind of stuff that they would write other places.
I always love it because, you know, long-form comedy writing is such a skill, and it's something that doesn't necessarily transfer from a stand-up or for a sketch writer or an improviser. I'm sure you deal with a lot of improvisers today who are just outstanding and can make an audience laugh on a dime or can turn on a dime and create art that is memorable, but they don't necessarily have the skills and the chops to write paragraph after paragraph to create a comedic essay.
Right.
How do you deal with that? I mean, because I would assume that that's a lot of the younger generation. This idea, the comedic essay, is foreign to them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just talking to one of the top people behind the book, Our Dumb Century, the Onion book,
Of course,
Our Dumb
yeah.
Century. Bystander is doing its first book this fall, Donald Trump's KGB file. So what I'm doing is I'm gathering a bunch of people from National Lampoon. It's like an issue, and then I'm gathering a bunch of people from National Lampoon, from Spy, from The Onion, all the rest. So we put together an all-star team to do this thing, and we're doing it very quickly. But in any case, he and I were talking, and he said one of the things that when he works with the younger writers at The Onion, they are all improvisers. They don't come from a print background. And so they have to be sort of, no, you have to write it in the news, you know, in news format and all the rest of that stuff. What I'm finding is that the more issues that Bystander does, and we have both, if you subscribe, it's $20 for each print issue. And like I say, it's a book, so it's worth it. But then also you can get a PDF for $5. And what we're finding is that those PDFs are really circulating widely around college campuses, comedy folks, improv people. I'm from Oak Park, and so I'm well aware of the improv scene in Chicago.
Yeah, right.
So as people read the magazine, that if you're my age, you know, you remember the old New Yorker casuals you know, Ian Fraser and Veronica Gang and all that stuff, and National Lampoon magazine, all that stuff.
Right.
If you're 25, you probably know it from McSweeney's website, and then when you see a bystander, it sort of blows the top of your head off because you're like, oh, Port of a Piece and cartoon, all sorts of things. And so people, as we do more issues, are getting more comfortable with that. And one of the goals that we have is to try to create a space for this particular kind of culture that's been around for about 150 years.
Yeah.
To a place to live until the big corporations can figure out how to make money with it again.
There's something just great about, and maybe it's generational, but I hope it's not, this creative endeavor, the artistic ability to, or the artistic endeavor that is the long form comedic essay. There's nothing like, it's something that I remember going to Columbia College where that was they were teaching that. I mean, they're teaching the idea
right.
of how to do this, but there is something about how nostalgic do we need to be to enjoy this? Or is this something that you think newer generations will just like the generations before, will get right like that?
Well, you know, I have to laugh because of course, for me, I think about being a kid, and I'm aiming at, you know, when we're doing this new parody, I'm thinking about the National Lampoon High School Yearbook parody, or when I look at an issue, I'm comparing it to those older things. But what is amazing, what's really interesting, is that younger people are one of the core audiences for this, and they really love it, because they look at it outside of that context. And so it's pretty exciting, because they don't necessarily know who an illustrator like Ed Sorrell is, right, or Arnold Roth. These guys, you know, are in their 80s, or Steve Brodner, or writers. They know Jack Handy from Deep Thoughts, but, you know, Brian McConaughey, one of the co-founders from National Lampoon and Saturday Night Live, you know, and they're interacting with it without all that context and really enjoying it. So it really is very encouraging. I do think these forms are going to last, and I think they're going to get stronger and stronger. And that wasn't something I could have said for certain when we started. I really felt like I'm doing this because I like these people that I'm working with, and I think it's worth doing. But we're really finding that younger people under 25 certainly, are loving the bystander.
You know, as you just mentioned that you're working on a book for the fall, but what else can we expect?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to branch outside of just the American Bystander, create events, things like that?
Yeah, well, that's what's so interesting, because when you get more and more of these people together, we're actually talking to some folks about how to get bigger, get some investors and get bigger, because there's so much interest in what we're doing. But of course, with a magazine like this, you have to get the right person. You have to get the right funding model, because the editorial freedom, you have to guarantee your creators editorial freedom. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it?
Right.
But I really feel confident we'll find that. And the reason that I'm looking for money in this way, because I certainly don't need more to do, is that people want to do podcasts. You know, sort of a National Lampoon Radio Hour kind of podcast. I've got contributors who say, I have the stuff, I want to do it. I can't do it for free, but I want to do it. We've talked to television people about doing a show. I'd love to do that too. But, you know, with a magazine, and this is my background, I know how to do all the things I need to do myself and cheaply and all that sort of stuff. But when you expand out into other media, they take more capital. So yeah, we're absolutely going to expand, because we have all this talent and people are coming to us, and younger people now coming to us too. We've done some events in New York because that's where the majority of my contributors live.
Right,
about 50% of my contributors, about 25% in Chicago, about 25% in LA. And I'm in Santa Monica, so I'm in LA. But, we've done events and they've been mob scenes. And of course, being a shy person, I always think, who's going to come? Nobody's going to come. And there's a lot of interest. So yeah, we're having to figure out a whole new way to publish magazines and we're creating a media company around the content. Like, this is the type of content we want to do. So what kind of business do we have to create, and how do we get it funded? And we're solving those problems rather than what usually happens, which is you have a big corporation, the media corporation that already has the, you know, conventional way, and comedy is just another flavor of the ice cream that they already make.
Different category,
so,
different genre.
It's a challenge, but it's a really interesting challenge, and I think it's one that we're solving.
I love it. Michael Gerber, The American Bystander, you can find that. Where's the best place for people to find it? The website?
Yes, you can go to. You can always go to the website, and at www.americanbystander.org, you can download one of our issues, a full PDF, so you can try it before you buy it. And if you like it, then you can go to patreon.com/bystander. We're always on our issues, all of the back issues, and everything we do is always on Amazon and places like that. And you can always reach out to me at publisher@americanbystander.org, and I'll answer any questions.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Justin. It's always a pleasure.